Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In this week's episode, we talk about what it takes to make a true Texan, some disappointing baseball news, and then lots of great speculation on football, on wins and losses for Texas Tech, and then for the rest of the conference. The 23 Personnel Podcast starts right now. You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. All right, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody.
So, definitely had to restart this episode. Started off with the wrong name of the podcast, reverted back to the old name.
Hey, no old habits die hard. Hey, I'm just surprised it hasn't happened before, like we were saying. I think I still say it, so. 23 Personnel, you just gotta recite it in front of a mirror.
Yeah, I guess it's good that it hasn't happened before, but like, it just came out of nowhere. I haven't thought about that name in a while. It maybe because of what we're going to talk about here in a minute with our what makes a Texan tech list. We didn't record last week because I was traveling for work. I was up in Seattle. Figured out it's a whole different world up there. Hippies and granola galore.
I like granola.
I was glad to be back. No, yeah, but like more of like the pejorative, like everything's granola, as in like everything's hippy dippy, and yeah.
I went years ago for a school trip. I don't know how our little school figured this out, but several of us got to go because it was there was some sort of student council convention, something going on up there. But this was in 2002, so it was a while back. And I just remember it was the most different place I'd probably been up to that point in my life. And I enjoyed it. We lucked out. It was really great weather. It was, I think it rained one day we were there. People kept telling us how much it was going to rain. And we got like four of this, you know, 50 sunny days they have in their entire year. And we were just thrilled about it.
Yeah, so it actually reminded me a lot of Germany. I was in Germany for a little bit several years ago. It reminded me a lot of that because of the green, the weather. It wasn't cloudy or rainy or anything while we were there. Everybody kept telling us what great weather it was. It's like, well, we from Texas brought the sunshine with us.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was warm for a couple days for him. But yeah, like I was saying, it just made me realize like how much of a different world it is. And it kind of sparked this idea of like what makes a Texan a Texan. So Michael and I kind of put this checklist together. We're going to kind of run through it a little bit. I'm going to try to keep like a tally of how many of these things I check off. You do the same, Michael, but... We'll start with nose pecan is the state tree.
Yeah.
And you know,
this is not, just so y'all know, this is not like a definitive, oh, well, you're not a Texan if these things aren't part of you. It's just, I don't know. It's fun to think about it and realize probably how many people do know. But yeah, pecan, definitely state tree. I can check that off.
We have 15 items on this list. I'm going to say if you don't hit at least 10 of these, you're not Texan.
We're going to have to go to review.
So, I did not remember that it was a pecan tree. I probably knew at one point that it was. I didn't remember. I'm not counting it.
That stuff is ingrained in me from first or second grade, I think. We were told about blue bonnets and pecans, and I think I know that the state... I forgot. A state snack, whatever it is...
Like a pecan,
chips and,
like a,
I think it's chips and salsa.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And then I think the state food is chili and all this other stuff. I used to know more of it. The armadillo, I believe, is something. And then
it's roadkill is what it is.
Yeah, so I knew that. I knew the state tree for sure.
The next one, it's actually related to this. Likes pecan pie. Again, that's a no for me. I'm 0 for 2.
Oh, man. That is... I request that every chance I get. My wife is allergic to pecans. So... I don't bring pecans into the house very often, but on holidays it's always the thing I ask my mom to make is pecan pie, because I don't get it very often.
It's not that I don't like it, but if I'm thinking we're gonna have pie, I've got a couple others in front of pecan that I would much rather have.
Really, pecans like my go-to. Pecans, I'm thinking on top pies.
If I'm thinking about pie, an actual pie, not a cobbler, I'm thinking like. Excuse me, I'm thinking pumpkin. Sorry, I couldn't get that word out.
I like pumpkin.
And then past that, I then transitioned more to cobbler. So like, you know, apple, cherry, or some kind of mixed berry, peach.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a good pecan pie, it was not going to be on my first... If it's the only pie being served for Thanksgiving, yeah, I'll have it. Nose mockingbirds are the state birds. Yes.
Yes,
I knew that one. So I'm 1 for 3.
Yeah,
I think this was an addition, but by Michael, hates mockingbirds.
Yeah, this I added that because they are very annoying, and I grew up with. They just seem to love being in the. We had a box elder tree in the front of our yard, and it seemed like they loved that tree. And that tree was right outside my window, so those mockingbirds and the other birds were just the scissor tails and all that. They were all just talking all the time. So, yeah, not a fan of mockingbirds.
Well, if they were chirping something you didn't like, you just have to whistle to them and they'll mock it back to you.
Oh, I should. Yeah.
It's all your fault.
I know.
All right, owns a pickup. Of the 4 vehicles that I have personally owned, 3 of them have been trucks.
I have owned 3 trucks myself. So, yeah.
Now, I'm counting a Ford Ranger and a Chevy S10 as trucks.
Yes.
Air quotes here.
Yeah.
That they weren't big boy full size trucks. One I have now is a full size. Still though, of the vehicles I have owned, 3 of them have been pickups.
No, I don't think you can nitpick on that, because then someone's going to come out and be like, "Oh, it's just a Honda Ridgeline. You can't." Well, yeah,
Avalanche.
Yeah, I can go to Lowe's and get haul home. You know, a pallet of, well, maybe not a pallet, maybe half a pallet of mulch for the yard. You know, that's a truck. Counts.
Yeah. Has visited the Alamo several times for me. So
I have been to the Alamo, I think, twice.
We actually went on our honeymoon.
Really?
To San Antonio. We spent about a day in San Antonio.
That's cool. Yeah, we went to San Antonio a few years ago, and that was the first time I actually went through it. I think, you know what? I'm totally lying. I've seen the Alamo a few times. Like, we would drive by it on a school trip or something that wasn't to go to the Alamo. It was to do something else. And so we didn't actually ever stop. So I take...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
that back. I have only been once, and it was when we went down to San Antonio on a trip, and I was like, we have to do this. And I think she was all on board with it too.
Has an unhealthy obsession with queso. If you have any doubt between the two of us, if we have an unhealthy obsession, you haven't been listening.
That's a check. That's a
check for both of us.
Big check.
It's one of those things where, like, you know a good Mexican restaurant based on their chips and salsa, and if they have a good queso.
Right.
Owns and or flies a come and take it flag, and which I think is where I got tripped up on the first recording tonight. I actually do have a come and take it flag. My boss got it for me when she heard I had a podcast by the other name that it was kind of based off of. It hangs over my desk in my office.
I've got to duck out on this one. I do not have one. I don't even have a shirt. I don't have a bumper sticker or anything.
You need to get it.
I guess so. I don't even have one of those, you know, Under Armour would sell the come and take it shirts with like some tech related thing on it, or
that was the Wounded Warrior game with Tuberville. No, it was like the Texas Pride game.
That may have been it. I swear I saw some shirts that said come and take it, and it had a fox for the I would like one of those, but no, I don't have one. I can't check that one.
Primarily eats ranch dressing on salads and as a dip. Check.
I don't think I can check that one.
If you're going to have a salad, what would your dressing of choice be?
I like Caesar salads quite a bit.
Okay, well, that's number two for me.
But yeah,
typically a ranch, though.
You're right. If you go to some place and they have a house salad, okay, yeah, I can check that. Because I do order ranch when it's a house salad most of the time.
Yeah, because I would consider Caesar like a different kind of, like, it's a salad, but it's a little different. It's not just like a, you get a salad, you're going to get a Caesar salad.
Yeah.
Other salads, like, you're going to get some kind of weird, so Italian's not weird, but it's like third on my list for me.
Yeah.
Then like Thousand Island or Russian or any of those other ones, no.
Greek.
Pass, hard pass.
Greek is up mm-mm. there for me. I love
vinaigrettes. Greek dressing.
I like vinaigrettes pretty good. But yeah, ranch, as I've brought it's up before,
so utilitarian.
If it's in a bottle, I will probably take any other dressing you have. If it's actual good ranch, then it's going to be ranch every time. But
which you can make on your own.
If it's just that craft bottle sitting back there, I'd probably rather eat a dry salad. Yes.
But like any restaurant that gives it out as a dip that's not using craft is usually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Like if it's a dip for fried pickles or something like that, it's going to be a good ranch.
Nose to wave on FM roads and smaller. So I will say... I didn't learn about this until I was a sophomore at Texas Tech. No, sorry, not a sophomore. A freshman at Texas Tech because of my roommate, also from Abilene.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple times when we went back to Abilene for the weekend, and he would always take not like 84 and 20. He would take some back roads, of course.
Go through Roby and...
Probably, and he would wave to everybody. I was like, I get it. So... I know to do that, and I'll do that every now and then. I can't tell you the last time I actually had somebody wave back.
Oh, but man.
I have waved.
Yeah, I'll go home or even just kind of venture a little bit off the beaten path out here, and I'll be on an FM road. And it catches you off guard if you haven't been down it in a while, because a guy will wave at me or, you know, a girl or whoever. It doesn't matter, guy or girl, but... They'll wave at you, and you'll notice it like right as you're meeting them, and then you
like, wait.
Yeah,
wait.
I know. You immediately feel like, oh no, I'm so rude. And you're like I need to turn around and go flag them down and wave just to make sure they don't think I'm just some stuck up guy from the city. So
city boy.
Yeah, some city boy. So yeah, that's definitely a thing. I think FM roads seems to be kind of like the cutoff. FM roads is about the biggest ones that you see waves. Anything with a median, yeah, of course you're not going to see a wave there. But it just seems really instant. Like, I'll exit I-20 and, you know, go to my little hometown and drive drive by the farm and stuff, and just the second I'm off I-20, yeah, they've got that two-finger wave or the one-finger wave. And Dad used to have all these rules. There were all these different amounts of hand on the steering wheel. And everyone had a certain one. And he knew what they were, and I can't remember, but there were certain guys around town. You knew you were going to get the one-finger wave, the good finger, or you're going to get two-finger, or Dad did, like, the four fingers a lot. I don't know. That was his thing. He'd be at the top of the wheel, and he'd put all four fingers up.
Nice. So, related to this, not on our list, but something I think people should know about and should do, is if somebody lets you in front of them on the highway, you need to wave to them.
Yes. Yeah, you do. You need to do it a little, kind of like you're wiping the rear view mirror. It's kind of that
just,
wave.
Just a little you just kind of throw your wrist twice. Thanks.
Exactly. That's it. It's like, it's like a two wrist shot. And I usually use two fingers, kind of like a, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I don't know why that, but that's it. That's my default. I just do that every time. Thanks for letting me in.
I did it today on the way home. I was trying to get over. The guy I was trying to get behind slowed down to let me in front of him. I was like, well, you'd have to do that. I was trying to get behind you, but thanks, dude. And I waved.
Right, right. Sometimes they're helping, but not in the way you want them to help.
Yeah, so.
It's the effort.
Opens doors, and that's still a yes. Mm-hmm. I actually had some conversation in Seattle about me holding a door open for a lady coming behind me. Like, why are you doing that? I was like, that's how I was raised, ma'am. She's like, well, don't call me ma'am.
I know. Why does everybody get so offended with that? That's never... I had a guy I worked with at one point. You know, I'd say sir because, one, I was like 19. And and he would get... He'd like, hey, don't call me sir. But what do I... I can't call you by your name. What am I supposed to do?
And that's the thing. Like, I was just thinking about, like, the interns that would work in our office that were 20, 21.
Yeah.
Like, if they had called me sir, I'd have been like, whoa, I feel really old.
Yeah, that's true. But this guy, this guy was probably 25 years older than me, so shouldn't have been a big deal, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All carbonated beverages are called Cokes.
I call them that, for sure.
Yep.
Everything's a Coke.
It's been that way forever. There are sometimes when I'm out with people that aren't from Texas or around here or whatever, I'll ask for a soda. Yeah. Or I'll be very specific with the soda that I'm wanting. But yeah, like if I'm talking to Samantha, it's like, yeah, I want to get a Coke.
Yeah, I think I'll do soda when I know it's going to confuse people. Yeah. You know, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it or anything. You're just like, oh, I'm here in Colorado. What kind of soda do you have? Because if I said what kind of... Actually, they'd probably get mad. I think they say pop up there.
Ugh,
they'd be like, what are you talking about? But yeah, if I said, what kind of Coke y'all got? They'd be like, Diet?
Coke and Diet Coke.
I don't know, man. What do you mean?
Which is interesting because I don't drink Coke. I drink Dr. Pepper. You know, if I'm drinking a soda, it's going to be Dr. Pepper.
That's your favorite Coke is Dr. Pepper.
Texas chili does not have beans.
Couldn't agree with this more. This is it. This is where I stand. Texas chili does not have beans. That does not mean that bad chili has beans. I love chili with beans in it. But it's not Texas red. It's not Texas chili.
Yeah, and you can have chili with beans in it.
Yeah.
It's just not Texas chili.
Agreed.
I will say you add beans, you're kind of skewing more towards the stew, but I'm going to leave that where it's at. Loves Tex-Mex and brisket.
It's got to be both.
Got to be both?
I think
so. Just kidding. It's not even a question. Yeah, it's yes on both.
For us, we're good. We got that one.
Okay, this last one has three parts. I don't know how you want to divide this up, but Frito pie, bean dip, Big Red. I'm going to go 2 of 3.
Okay.
I'm not a Big Red fan.
I will go 3 of 3, because they are all delicious, and they're kind of in Texas lore. Of course, Big Red gets paired a lot with barbecue now. It gets paired with like street tacos, good Tex-Mex, and Frito pie is a thing that until we were dating, my wife had never had coming from Kentucky. So that was like the first thing. And this is so great. When I brought her home to meet my parents, that was what my mom made, was Frito pie. And she was thrilled. Allison was thrilled. She's like, oh, man, I finally get to have some Frito pie.
So I'm going to throw my in-laws under the bus here. We actually had Frito pie, air quotes, for Sunday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Their version of Frito pie is basically taco salad over Fritos. I was like,
wait, there's lettuce?
That's not... like I said, it for them, now, they are from Utah and Kentucky. But it's the Kentucky side of the family that does the taco salad over Fritos and calls it a Frito pie. So when I got there for Sunday dinner, what I did, I opened a can of chili, put it on the stove to warm it up. My Frito pie was Fritos, chili, cheese.
You did now, it the right way. That's how you do it.
I did supplement and take some of the taco meat and put it on top, or put it on it. They also, my brother-in-law also made queso, and I put that on top of it because I'm a Texan, right?
Yeah.
A healthy obsession with queso. That was on my Frito pie. It was queso.
Well, and this is a whole other argument.
A whole
Texas I know, thing. Too. I'm doing
whole
it.
Nother.
Y'all get to hear all sorts of. I'm just going to become more and more how I really talk the longer this podcast goes. But that's also a good argument against beans, because the whole point of chili to me is all the stuff you can put in it after it's made. You know, like a made bowl of chili, you want to put cheese in there, you want to dollop a sour cream, you want to crumple saltines, you want to put jalapenos,
cornbread.
Yeah, cornbread's great. You know, pour it over some Fritos and, you know, put all the toppings on that with the Fritos.
Put it on a burger. Put it on a hot dog.
Yeah, chives, onions. I mean, that's the thing. If you've got beans in there, it just gets a little too busy.
Yeah.
So you want to keep it versatile.
So my tally, I had 12 of the 15 on the list. So
I was 14.
Stamp, certified Texan.
I was 14. There. I guess I need a come and take it flag of some sort, and then I could.
Check all 15.
Yeah,
off.
Could check them all off. I'm sure if y'all are listening and on the STP side or anything, y'all comment on what other ones that might need to be added to the list.
Yes. So let us know where you stood on that checklist. How many of those you checked off, and which ones we missed.
Yep. I have one I'm contemplating right now. We'll see what y'all think too. Knows how to drive a stick.
I learned. Yeah, how to drive on a stick shift on standard.
That's pretty good. I, that might be a pretty good qualifier. Help make you more Texan than some others.
Yeah. So my first vehicle was a Ford Ranger, but it was manual. It's a 5-speed. I started learning it in like June or July. First day of school rolls around, my mom's like, "Bye, go. I'm not driving you to school." And, like, I just remember being so nervous because, like, to get to high school from where I was living, I had to get on the highway. There were some hills. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Trial by fire. That's some of the best stuff. I
definitely stalled it out a couple of times on that first day.
I remember when, you know, Dad was teaching me to drive the tractor out in the field. This is such a great country story. But he was teaching me to drive the tractor out in the field, and he did what his dad did to him. He taught me a couple of times, and he'd been with me those times. Then all of a sudden he was like, "All right, well, I've got to go, you know, run some errands. I'll be back in about an hour. Keep plowing." When I was, you know, my eyes got huge and was all freaked out that he was going to come back and I'd have a fence wrapped around the whole tractor or something. But that was his method. He was like, "All right, okay, you're good now. I'm just going to leave you alone." And I found out years later that he just went home and sat around for a little bit and came back.
his doing errands was going home and taking a nap.
Yeah, I think that was it. He went home, read the paper, shut his eyes for a minute and came back and was like, "Oh, okay, good. He didn't drive through the house. We're okay."
All right. From there, I think we need to go in and talk about some baseball. I didn't actually give any kind of preview of the episode. We're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about football. We're going to cut it there, and we're going to do a mailbag with all the listener questions and wrap up with what we learned. Lots of great questions. Lots of good stuff to cover in football. Baseball, sky is falling. I hate to say it, like, I'm not as fair weather as this is going to sound. I haven't watched a baseball game since before the Arkansas series because of how poorly they're doing and how mad it makes me.
Well, you were there for like the last big hurrah that they had when they...
Yeah, it was Kansas State.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they scored 76 runs. So since our last recording, the Texas Tech baseball team had a road trip up to Arkansas. Actually had one of the games canceled because of weather. It's kind of iffy because they probably could have played the game. But Arkansas had won the first game pretty convincingly. There was enough rain, they said, no, let's go ahead and cancel it because they'd already gotten their RPI boost from beating us. And we're going to risk it, and said, we're good. They went to TCU, lost 2 of 3 there. Michael's got a note in here that says game 3 was...
expletive. I have an expletive in there. It was a crap show, is what game 3 was.
You get a win against TCU, you get 1 of 3 against TCU. You're home against San Diego. Not like San Diego State, but San Diego. You win by 5, but I guess it was close until the 7th.
Yep.
This past weekend, you had Texas in town. You lost 2 of those games where it didn't look close. You won the middle game by like 10 or 11 runs, which is like really also like head scratcher. Like, this team is either like in it or they get blown out. Like, there's no like really close games, or there hasn't been recently. Like, yeah. You either blow them out or you get blown out.
Sunday was probably the closest one because they had, you know, they came in bottom of the 9th, down by 2. That was pretty close. I got to catch the very end of that. There were some really questionable officiating, umpiring on some of those at bats, and that doesn't excuse it at all. But I know that I think the second or third batter, he started out 0-2 on 2 pitches. One sure looked low, and one really looked outside. So it was crunch time, so you notice that stuff a little bit more, and it carries a lot more weight. But man, that doesn't explain why they lost the game. That's for sure.
Yeah. Currently, I was looking this up while Michael was talking. Currently, Texas Tech is down to Dallas Baptist 9-4 in the 8th.
Ooh.
You're at home. Like, it was a close game when you played them in Dallas, which you ended up losing because there was some really more dumb umpiring going on.
Oh, yeah, and that was when Tablock got kicked out, wasn't it?
Uh-huh, and then Cody Masters was kicked out, or whoever it was right after him.
Yeah.
But you're losing to them pretty handily. Just overall, you're pitching... Davis Martin is not pitching like the Davis Martin. You're losing a lot of Friday night games that you should be winning. He's giving up a lot of runs. His ERA is going up. Saturday, Caleb Killian is a beast. He's like unbelievably, he's doing so well. Sunday, John McMillan, I guess, has been bounced from that Sunday starting position. He started tonight. I think Shedder started this past Sunday. You're starting pitching, like, if you're going into a weekend series, if you're going, you know, 1-2-3, you're looking at like one good pitcher. If Martin isn't on his game, and if whoever you throw out there on Sunday can't piece together 4 good innings, which begs the question: coming into the season, we all thought this team was a national title contending team, and they still may be. I'm not like ready to say that they're not, but if the team we're seeing now drags on through the rest of the season, are they an Omaha team?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any way.
Absolutely not. There's no way that they get that far into Omaha with what they have now. The way they're performing now.
Yeah.
The talent is there.
Yeah, they're just way too inconsistent. There's just no... you could fault some of that on having 2 really key pitchers go down, and we've been kind of seeing it slowly turn over the last several months. But when they first went down, we were kind of... able to tread water and didn't notice a huge difference. But now that we've kind of exhausted the bullpen a little bit, and you know, Tadlock's pitching six or seven guys some games, and you just,
on a Friday,
and you can't you can't expect that that's going to be a very good game plan to get you beyond the regional even. So I'm
spoiler alert.
I'm really, you know, one of the 973 guys brought up today that, you know, baseball teams can get hot, and if they get hot at the right time, they can keep going, and that just kind of works with any team. That's how Giants beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl when they went 9-7. You know, just stuff can happen in the postseason.
Right. And you've got a full 4 weeks until you need to be hot again. You've got time to get back on top of this. You know, you've got you're off this weekend. You go to Oklahoma State next weekend. And then you're off again, and then you have the Big 12 tournament, and then regional play starts. You don't need to be hot until regional play starts.
Yeah.
You've got some time to get it right. But at this point, if you're continuing to play like this, you will, one, get bounced from the Big 12 tournament early again. Although I don't know if that would be that much of a surprise, because even when they were really good, they got bounced early.
That's kind of a Tech tradition.
Yeah.
No matter what, get bounced out of whatever respective Big 12 tournament you're in pretty early.
And then you'll have teams like Dallas Baptist in your regional that can and would love to knock you out of the postseason on your home field. So like I said, if they don't fix whatever's happening, they don't make it out of the regional.
Well, and I couldn't believe how poorly things went against TCU, because what we talked about on our last podcast, I think, was
how much TCU was struggling. This was a chance to climb back up into the conference title rankings, and that's gone.
Right.
You're not doing a three-peat.
No, and they lost a lot of key guys right before that game, but you wouldn't know it the way that we played in Fort Worth. So I would say no, they're not an Omaha team. And the next question is, are they a super regional team? Because, I mean, it's pretty, I don't know what would have to happen for them to not be a regional team, but I think it'd have to be something really drastic. So
I don't think they could drop out of a regional spot because of how high they're. I still think they're top 10 RPI.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way a top 10 RPI team is not going to be even hosting a regional.
I agree. I think that's pretty much a lock. But
past that,
like you said, they might get stuck having Dallas Baptist here, who has, you know, who's up 9-4 currently, 10-4, as we're talking, and in the top of the ninth. So I'm not. Not good.
This is the last home game of the regular season too. Let's throw that out there.
Some,
this is
some good momentum.
Senior night, essentially.
Good way to end the year in Lubbock. For of course, you know, if they host a region, or when they host a regional, they'll be in Lubbock, but obviously, but I, not the best way to send your guys out on the regular season.
All right, this is too depressing.
Yep.
Let's talk about something even more depressing. Let's go to football.
Yeah, let's bring it down even more.
This is a really cheery episode. So the betting win totals for 2018 came out this week for the entire conference. Do you want to start with the Texas Tech schedule, or you want to go to the conference schedule first?
Let's do Texas Tech first. Let's go through it.
Okay.
Piece by piece.
All right. So this is actually one of the questions we got from Drew Borsellino, or at Coach Borsellino. I'm probably not saying that right, although I think I am. I don't know. So the over-under was set at 5.5 wins next year. He asked us to reason you pick your answer. Sorry, I got mixed up reading that. Okay, so we should have had this thought out. You want to do stay our over under and then go through the schedule?
Ooh.
Or do you want to go through the schedule and then see where we land?
I don't know. I don't know what would keep everybody in suspense. Yeah, We really prep for these things. Y'all have no idea how much we prep. I think we should go one at a time, and then we'll kind of recap the tallies at the end.
So we'll go through the schedule one game at a time. Week one, you are in Houston playing Ole Miss. I've heard Ole Miss has lost a ton of talent and that they're not going to be very good this year.
Yeah.
You're playing in Houston, which is it's Texas Tech Southeast.
Yeah.
It's your second largest alumni base in the state, outside of the Dallas area, I would imagine. You always seem to have really good showings or attendance for bowl games in that area. So while it's a neutral site game, you should have the home field, air quotes, advantage there against maybe a weakened Ole Miss. I'm going to say... Ooh, I didn't...
But now it's down to it, huh?
I'm going to say a loss.
Yeah, that's what I say too. I say a loss. I hate it because just know, guys, that we're not like reveling in this. We don't want to...
This is going to hurt us more than it's going to hurt you.
Yeah, I have a feeling where this is going to go, and it's not going to be super optimistic. So it's not going to be... If any of this comes to pass, we're not going to go back. You know, back on May 8th, I said that this was going to happen, and I knew it.
I'm totally writing this down. It's going to be like it's on my wall.
I'm so glad. Every time. Yeah, yeah. So
when we do our post-game podcast recordings, which I think we're still going to do, I'm like, half look, May 8th, for me, our least. Preseason, I said we would lose to Ole Miss. Here's why.
Right.
And then, so I'm thinking, one, just... I hate to go back on this, but like SEC talent and speed is like even on a not elite SEC caliber team, still gonna be better than middle to bottom of the pack Big 12 team.
Yeah, I
think their defense is gonna be the best unit on the field that day, and for a team that's looking to replace a quarterback and the entire starting receiving core. For a passing team, doesn't bode well.
And mine's even less, actually analytical with good points. Mine's more just the fact that we're starting off our season against a Power 5 opponent. And, yeah, there was something on Twitter.
On the road, essentially. Right. I just said it was at home, but...
Yeah, it's neutral, quote-unquote. But it's not a thing that... has usually bode well for Tech in the past to play a Power 5 opponent early. Now, I don't think they've played one. I can't think of when they've played one first game in a while. But there was a statistic that came up that Tech has won, I think, 15 of their opening games consecutively. And that's
one of, end.
It's one of the, yeah, I know. And that's one of the higher streaks. And I think it was from the Tech advertising people on Twitter trying to get people to buy tickets for the game. So it's just more of like that, hey, trial by fire thing. I always feel a little bit better when we get to ease into the season somewhat. So I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. And I'm not trying to be negative Nancy about it.
Yep, I'm with you. 0-1. So, next week you come home, Lamar. If you don't win this game by 6 touchdowns, you need to just close the doors at the football facility.
Yeah.
Pack it in. Refund all the season tickets.
I definitely have a win.
This is a lower level. Yeah, this is a lower level FCS team. It's not like a Sam Houston State or Central Arkansas.
Right.
It's Lamar. This is like... You need to be getting like your third string quarterback some significant time in this game.
Yep, definitely have a win here. It'll be the first game in Lubbock. Should be pretty good crowd. I bet you kickoff's going to be at 2:30 or something awful on September 8th. So it's going to be nice and steamy.
Because it's Lamar and it's not going to be picked up by anything past like Fox Sports Southwest 2.
Yeah, 2.
Or
2,
Fox Sports Southwest Plus.
Or minus.
Yeah, so that game will probably be like the only 6 o'clock game you'll get, besides TCU, which is on a Thursday.
Yeah, that's how that works. And Baylor might be kind of a later game.
Yeah, but because nobody's going to want to pick this up, you can basically say whenever this game's going to be.
Yeah,
and so you'll get a night game there. The next week you're still home against Houston. Oof. Need to win this game.
Winning that one. I've got us beating Houston. Houston only went 7-5 last year in the American West Athletic Conference.
My hesitation with marking this down as a win is how close the game was last year.
Yeah. But it was in Houston.
I say it was close. You were up 2 touchdowns, 14 or 17 points.
Yeah, they started coming back there. If the game had been 5 minutes longer, we would have lost. If maybe even 3 minutes longer. That second string quarterback ran all over us.
Yeah, if he had started earlier, then. So that's what gives me hesitation because. I don't know. I will say a win, but it'll be close.
Yeah, and, you know, Ed Oliver's still around, so that's not good.
Well, he wasn't all that...
He was neutralized quite a bit.
Yeah, he wasn't all that bad.
They did a good job neutralizing him. So, because I remember that gave us a lot of hope down the road. That was probably dashed at some point. But I think they'll come away with it just for the intangible stuff, it being another home game. And just hope.
Yep. So you wrap up non-con probably 2-1. I think it's more likely 1-2 than 3-0. Most unlikely of scenarios, obviously, is 0-3 with Lamar on the schedule. But 2-1, not bad. Then you head up to Stillwater to play Oklahoma State early in the season again. This time, you know, it's on the road. Everybody has questions on their offensive side. It just, you've not, like, even when you're best teams, you've not played well in Stillwater. Like, 2007, you had a really good team, you lost.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, you had a decent team, you almost won, you missed a field goal, or an extra
PAT,
point.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes' first game, you got kind of blown out a little bit because Davis Webb couldn't complete a pass. Then he got injured, and then Mahomes' first play, he fumbled and then threw an interception somehow on the same play.
Yep.
I'm just gonna say a loss on that one.
Me too. Mainly for all the reasons you've just listed, and I don't know. It's going to be hard for me to pick us to beat Oklahoma State for a while until we finally do. I don't know if I'm going to pick it until it actually happens because it hasn't happened.
It's going to have to be one of those years where you are by far the better team. Like, you are really confident about how good you are and really confident about how bad they are. And you're like, okay, I think we have a shot.
Yeah. And it may be one of those things where I won't even pick it until the week before where you're kind of going, okay, now I got it. But right now, here in May, no, definitely not.
Because some of your ugliest games have come against Oklahoma State.
66-6.
Granted, that was a BCS Bowl caliber team you were facing. But like a couple of years ago, you were up 17 and ended up losing by 17.
Oh yeah,
that was a 5-touchdown swing.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
That was a game where Jakeem Grant had like a 95-yard pass completion where he did not score.
Yeah. And they ended up scoring 70 on us. They put 70 on us that game, I think.
Yeah, it was like a 54-70.
Yeah, it's awful.
Or 53, whatever it was. Okay. And then you come back home, West Virginia. Again, since West Virginia has been in the conference, you've beaten them twice. Once the first year, surprisingly, when they had Geno Smith, Stedman Bailey, Tavon Austin, top 5 team, and you smoked them.
Yep. Jason Morrow, all those guys were huge in that game. I think I think Amaro got hurt. Didn't he get hurt that game?
That's the game where he got his, like, he ruptured his spleen or something.
Oh, jeez. That sounds awful. He
was thrown up at halftime, came back, played for a little bit in the second half, then left again. And then you beat them a couple years later, like the next year, in Morgantown. Since then, you've lost every game to them.
Yeah, and one of them was been like real heartbreaker field goal.
Like 55-plus yard field goal as time expired.
Yep.
The game where they just punked you before the game, and you, like, it was like 41-7. Last year where you gave the game away. Yeah. The same with Oklahoma State. Until you get that monkey off your back, it's going to be a loss.
I've got a loss on it, too. Sorry, guys. So, this isn't fun.
Going into your first bye week, air quotes here, we've got you at 2-3.
Yep.
Your first bye week comes because you're going to have a road game at TCU on a Thursday. I'm going to pencil in for a loss here.
Me too. TCU somehow went 11-3 last year. I know they've lost some guys too. Pretty much everybody has, especially. Well, did they lose? Yeah, they lost their quarterback, right?
No, Sean Robinson's back.
He's still there? Okay, well, that just cements it even better.
This is the guy that had 7 fumbles against Texas Tech last year. However, TCU recovered 6 of those 7 fumbles.
Oh, man. That was one of the most depressing games, because that was...
I know.
That was the only one I went to, and it was just the missed field goals and the fumbles that we couldn't recover. And
the one fumble you did recover in, like, your red zone, you don't score on.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, on that next drive, you don't score.
Yeah. And the stadium was... there were a lot of open seats.
Yeah, it was one of the last games in Lubbock.
It was. It was the last home game.
Yeah. Oof. And then, so you're obviously going to be off that weekend because you play on Thursday. Mercifully come back home, play Kansas. You get right here. You score 45-plus.
Yeah. You beat Kansas.
You beat Kansas.
Agreed.
You're 3-4. Road trip to Iowa State. That's a loss.
That's a loss. I've got that as 1-2. And I wrote these down before we started, so those of you playing along at home, we're not basing it off anything. Just Iowa State's got our
number. You've never played well there.
No, and they just have our number.
Matt Campbell is a genius.
I don't feel good about it.
You know, he came up with that coverage that everybody is copying to stop Texas Tech in their offense. That cloud 3, they drop 3 safeties, and they basically drop, like, all their corners and linebackers to fill, you know, zones underneath. So it's like you've got 5 zones across the middle of the field and then 3 deep safeties, and they rush 3. Well, throwing against 8 defenders
is going to be
difficult. Yeah. You've got 5 receivers going against 8 defenders. You're going to lose that just about every time.
That's a pretty long day.
Unless you can convince them to commit more people to stopping their run. We haven't been able to do that. So, loss against Iowa State. Next week, home against Oklahoma. Got a loss.
Yeah, that's a loss.
Now, they don't have Baker Mayfield. There is a lot of smoke coming around to Kyler Murray going professional in baseball this offseason because of how highly he's projected to go. I think they're talking about multi-million-dollar signing bonus for him.
Wow.
Which is be stupid to turn down no matter how good you think you are in football.
You
like
bet.
A signing bonus in the multi-million-dollar range, you take that.
Yeah. I had no idea about that.
Unfortunately for Oklahoma, he's slated to be their starting quarterback as well. If they lose their starting quarterback for 2018 in June, they might be scrambling. I don't know who they have behind him. I just know they also have a lot of talent on the offensive line.
Yes.
Running back, receivers.
OU has been able
line,
to run
defensive
it against
backs,
us
linebacker.
Since, I don't know, the beginning of time. I think they, even if they just threw the ball 8 times, they'd still come away with a win.
If you will remember, they basically ran off the entire fourth quarter of last year's game because we could not stop their run.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield did not throw a pass, and they ran off like 14 and a half minutes on one drive.
Oh, so it's already happened.
So we can break our hearts some more. Just remember that one drive
that
essentially took an entire quarter.
I wonder if I have that. Yeah. I might have that in my little notebook here. Gosh, that was... Yeah, I do remember that, because we kind of... You know, we played them pretty well. We didn't... I still think we lost like 42 to 21 or something. But it wasn't... It was one of those things where you're just kind of, hey, that could have been much worse. And I think we were within.
It was close early, because I remember Tech scored first, missed the point after.
Yep.
You went back and forth a couple of drives. You scored a touchdown, Oklahoma scored. You would score, Oklahoma scored. And like there was like a weird, like not turnover, but like end of the half where you didn't score. Oklahoma got the ball first, scored. And then you were down by two scores, and like you were just out of it.
Yep. That was that. Yeah.
So, first week in November, you're sitting at 6 losses.
Yeah.
Well, according to Michael and Spencer in the 23 Personnel podcast on May 8th, 2018.
Yeah, we know what we're talking about, y'all.
If you're going to make a bowl game, you got to win all three against Texas at home, Kansas State away, Baylor in Arlington. So, Texas at home.
I have it as a win. I have it as a win. I think their quarterback situation is not going to right itself. I think we finally get that monkey off our backs of beating them in Lubbock again. They
won't have Chris Boyd with what's-his-face throwing at him all night.
Yeah, and they won't have that...
McClain Carter.
And they won't have that damn punter.
Yeah, because he got drafted.
Yeah, he's like the
fourth
NFL.
Or fifth round.
he's a highly paid professional... football player right now, so that's good. But I don't know. I think we have a shot there.
And what's his name is gone too, the running back.
Yeah. I think we've got a shot. I'm picking a win against Texas at home.
Although they didn't get Trey Watson this week.
That's going to swing the tide. That's going to change everything. I'm sure he'll just start. He's probably already thrown some passes for him somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm gonna disagree with you here. I'm gonna say this is a loss.
All right, hey, can't fault you, one way or the other.
So, Spencer's got you at 1, 2, 3, and 7 right now.
Yeah, I'm 4 and 6. I'm the optimistic one.
At 4 and 6, Kansas State in Manhattan.
Lost. There's no way. I don't see it. I don't see us beating it. Beating them in Kansas
which is
State.
Funny because you're like automatic went to loss, and I'm like, this is a game you could win.
It is. It's a game we should win, but we won't. It's just not going to happen for us.
Bill Snyder will figure out a way to
rip our hearts out again.
Yeah, like that game last time when you were going back and forth. Another time where you had the ball first, didn't score going into halftime. Kansas State scored on their opening drive, so put you up like. A weird two-score margin, hung around, throwing Hail Marys to go into overtime. This was a Pat Mahomes team, so let's take that.
No, last time was Šimunek. Šimunek went to overtime.
No, sorry, I meant the yes. So Šimunek and Lubbock went to overtime. He's the one that threw the fourth down pass into shallow water.
That was it. Your geography is right.
Year before that was Mahomes throwing, like, we had recovered an onside kick and threw for the end zone, but he, like, the ball got swat out of his hand. It didn't go very far.
Well, and that was when the defense, Mahomes was playing hurt, which was questionable anyway, and the defense really, really played well. They really stepped up. I think they stopped Kansas State on either 3 or 4 consecutive drives late in the game, like third and fourth quarter, and we just could not move the ball. It was so painful to watch. So no, I don't see it.
This is one of those toss-up games for me. I'm gonna say loss though.
Okay.
I'm gonna lean towards a loss. And then your last game of the year in Arlington against Baylor, Yeah, I'm going to say win.
Me too. I say win.
If there was any question about if there's a head coach search going on and you lose this game, there will be no question. Because Baylor should be god-awful again this year.
Yep.
Regardless how good Charlie Brewer might be, there's nobody really around him yet.
Yeah, I'd definitely pick a win there, and that's not saying a lot, but that leaves me. I have us at the grand total of 5-7 at the end of the season.
You're taking the under. I'm taking the way under. I'm at 4-8.
Yeah. So long. 20-minute explanation later, we're both taking the under on the 5.5 line. That was a solid line though, because it did make me think. You know, with me having 5 games, like you said, Spencer. You know, if I wasn't so jaded from the last 2 Kansas State games, I could pick a W there. But the fact that it's in Manhattan kind of threw me for a loop there, and I went with an L. Or I could be really optimistic and pick a W against Ole Miss, because Ole Miss, you know, they underperformed last year, and I think they only won 7 games. So
you also picked a win against Texas. So.
I did. I picked a win against Texas because
there's optimism.
Yeah, because why not?
So, all right, let's look at the rest of the Big 12. We'll start top to bottom according to these results. They had Oklahoma at 10-5. I'm going to say under, but barely. I'm going to say 10-2, so under for Oklahoma.
I mean, you said 10-5. Did you mean
10.5? Okay. They're 10.5.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just read it. 10.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to say under, and also I guess would depend heavily on Kyler Murray.
I'm saying under, too, because we were talking about before the podcast started, Spencer brought up that their schedule is pretty easy. So, you know,
let's take a look at their schedule.
Seeing 11 games wouldn't be, you know, 11 wins wouldn't be the craziest thing, but there's a lot of unknowns there. So I think 10.5 is kind of a bold line. I'm going to take the under on that, too.
So they have Florida Atlantic, UCLA, and Army in their non-conference. Should be 3-0 there, assuming they haven't fallen off the face of the planet and lose to UCLA. Other two should be easy wins. Their conference slate starts against Iowa State on the road. Should win that. Home against Baylor. Neutral against Texas, then a bye week. In Fort Worth for TCU. Home against Kansas State. Here in Lubbock for Texas Tech. Home against Oklahoma State. Home against Kansas. Then on the road for West Virginia. There's not like a really brutal stretch there.
No. They've got a pretty good little walk there.
Yeah, they ramp up, you know, Army, Baylor, Texas, and a bye week.
Yep.
And they have TCU, but they have a week to prepare for that. Kansas State at home, on the road. Like, there's just not a lot there to, like, you would be concerned about.
No.
Like a trap game.
Possible trap game.
Maybe could be Tech
or Iowa State.
Why Iowa State? That's right before the game against Army.
Right, but it's just they will have just played UCLA, who's probably going to be overrated.
Maybe it's a letdown game.
Yeah, and they and then they go up to Ames, and we just talked about how awful Ames can be to people. And Iowa State just beat them last year with with Cleveland Browns' number one draft pick. So we've got to keep that in mind.
Oklahoma State picked at 8.5.
I take the over. I take the over on Oklahoma State.
And I've heard a lot of people take the under, but when I looked at their schedule, like Michael and I were talking about this, going into their bye week, they might even be expected to be 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
They have Missouri State, South Alabama, Boise State, home against Tech, on the road against Kansas, home against Iowa State, on the road at Kansas State, and there's their bye week. That Kansas State game is probably the toughest one on that slate for them.
Yeah.
Which isn't, I don't think it's saying much. I think they're better than Kansas State. Now, their schedule is pretty heavily backloaded. They've got, after their bye week, they got Texas on the road against Baylor, on the road against Oklahoma, home against West Virginia, and then on the road against TCU. So if they go into their bye week 7-0, they just have to win two more of those games.
Yeah.
And they've got Baylor back there.
Yeah, Baylor's one of them.
So they would need to win one of Texas, Oklahoma, West Virginia, or TCU. I think they get it, so I'm going to actually go over. I'm going to say 9 wins.
Yeah, I think so too.
TCU at 8.
That's a great line.
It is, because it's a whole number. If you're going to go over or under, like, it's a two-game swing.
Yeah, I know. I think TCU is going to be pretty good this year, but I don't know if they're... I mean, they did, like we said just a while ago, they did go 11-3 and were 7-2 in Big 12 play. I'm going to have to take the over, just thinking that, you know, they're... Aside from Ohio State, they're
which
non-
is its...
Yeah, their non-conference schedule should be pretty manageable with Southern and SMU. So that's going to be an L, I'm sure, against the Buckeyes. But
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's highly possible, but we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah, man, it's a great line.
Because their schedule is pretty balanced, because they've also got Texas and Iowa State before their bye week, and then after they've got Tech, Oklahoma, Kansas, Kansas State, West Virginia, Baylor. So they've got 2 wins past their bye week that are pretty easily penciled in.
I think I'm going to take the over on it. I think they'll win 9. We've already got like one of the teams winning 10. One win in 8. I mean, one, and let's see, we've got OU winning at least 10. And we've got, or maybe 10. And then we've got Oklahoma State and TCU winning 9. So I don't know how that's going to work out.
Well, you've got teams like Tech at picked 5.5 that I think is high. Baylor at 5, I think is high. Kansas at 3, I think is high.
That's also true. Okay. Yeah, it may even out. I'm just hoping our over-unders are kind of consistent, but we'll see.
Yeah, so for TCU, I would say over or push. I don't think it's just going to be 7. I think it's 8 or greater.
Yeah,
which makes it the good line.
Right, great line. Good job, sports bet people.
It's like it's their job or something.
I know. It's like,
and then you've got 3 teams kind of picked there with 7 wins: Kansas State, West Virginia, Texas. Kansas State has a weird schedule. Like, I don't know. It's just that so they're out of conference is South Dakota, Mississippi State, UTSA, and then they are on the road at West Virginia, home against Texas, on the road against Baylor, home against Oklahoma State. So it's like it's really like back and forth. You have a tough game, an easy game, a tough game, easy game. Road, like you've got your toughest games at home with Texas and Oklahoma State. And then after their bye, they travel to Oklahoma, travel to Fort Worth. I think that they lose both of those games. Get right against Kansas, have us for Texas Tech, and then on the road against Iowa State. I say of the 3 7-win teams, they may be the over.
I'm going. I wish I could push. 7's good on that. I'm going the under on them. I think they're just going to be kind of middle of the road this year. I still think they'll beat us, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course they will.
But you can be 6-6 and beat Tech, and that wouldn't be the craziest thing to ever happen. So last year they were 8-5 overall, which is great, but they had some pretty rough games, and they went 5-4 in conference, which of course is much better than we did, or 2 games better. So even so, I still am going to pick the under on them.
Yes. See, this is why, cause they're so good. I'm going to, again, like TCU, I would say they're more likely to push or go over than go under.
Okay. You could talk me into that too.
Most likely a push.
Yeah.
Probably the same for the other 7-win teams.
Probably a lot of people are going to have they're just going to get their money back.
Yeah. West Virginia, I don't buy the Will Grier love. They have, like, they start their season at a neutral site against Tennessee. Then they have Youngstown State, NC State. So, not a bad out-of-conference schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The conference was nice to them and did not give them any back-to-back travel weeks.
Oh, well, that's convenient. Dang, the line at 7 for West Virginia. They could surprise some people. Only won 7 games last year. So they pegged the line last year. And that included a bowl game. And I can't remember if they won their bowl game or not, but they went 7-6. So I'm going
to
go...
If you look at their schedule, though, like I'm looking at, like, okay, Tennessee, I'm going to say... I'm going to skip them. Youngstown State win, NC State win, Kansas State win, Tech win, Kansas win, Iowa State maybe, Baylor win. There you've got 6.
Yep, you're already at 6.
And they need to win one against Tennessee, Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State, or OU.
And they tend to play really well against OU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've kind of talked me into it. I'm going over. I'm going the over on West Virginia.
I'm going to go over for them. Texas, I'm going to go under.
Yep, me too.
I'm going to go 6.
Mainly out of spite, but also because I just don't think they're going to be very good.
Well, they've got a difficult out of conference. Their road game against Maryland, I think they have a really good chance of losing since they got thrashed by them at home last year.
Mm-hmm.
Tulsa at home, they should win. USC at home, I think they're going to lose that one.
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
Home game against TCU, I think TCU probably gets that one. On the road at Kansas State. Kansas State always does well against Texas. Like, they're like Texas Tech. I don't know, any team that does really well against us. Everybody, basically.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and then they're in Dallas for OU, Baylor, bye week. I mean, yeah, I'm going to go 6 wins for them. Go under. Still a little shaky for Tom Herman, but I think he's going to stick around. The interesting line comes next when you get to Iowa State at 6. Because Matt, this is year 3 of Matt Campbell. I think he's doing really well.
Yeah, he's out there walking on water, according to some of these guys.
He's going to have a statue in front of the stadium here pretty soon.
Yeah, he'll probably sculpt it himself. He took some bronzing classes over the offseason.
I'm sure he's that talented, too.
Yeah.
Their schedule, South Dakota State, at Iowa, home against Oklahoma, home against Akron. They have 2 road games back-to-back, TCU and Oklahoma State, home against West Virginia. Yeah, I'm going to... Like, we're really stacking up a bunch of 7-5 teams here, but I think they'll go over.
I think they'll go over, too, because they could win the last 5 games of the season.
Yes, which is Tech, Kansas, Baylor, Texas, Kansas State.
Yeah, so I picked the over on Iowa State.
Because they do tend to be kind of a strong second half team.
Yeah.
Baylor at 5, I think, is woefully or tragically overrated.
Agreed. Under.
Go under. They're out of conference. ACU, they should win that game. UTSA, they're going to lose. Duke, they're going to lose. That week 4 game against Kansas, nobody's going to watch. It's going to be awful. I don't know who wins, but we're all going to be losers that day.
They'll set some records. They'll probably set a lot of advertisement records. Coyote Tractors is going to sell so many damn tractors during that.
Because everybody's so Kansas bored in the Baylor game. Like, game. I got to do something else. Yeah, and then they travel to Norman against Kansas, or against Oklahoma. They're going to get blown out. Home against Kansas State. Kansas State should win that one. On the road against Texas. Texas will win. On the road against West Virginia, they'll win. Home against Oklahoma State.
No chance.
Like, I think Baylor could win 2 games.
Yeah.
ACU and Kansas.
ACU in Kansas, and depending on, you know, things, UTSA has always played these Power 5 schools tough.
UTSA almost won last year?
Yeah.
Or they did?
I think they did win, because Kansas only won one game.
Talking about Baylor now, though.
Oh, crap, you're right, you're right. I think Baylor's only win was Kansas. Because Baylor also only won one game. Yeah. And it was a conference game, so it had to be that. Yeah, because Kansas went 0-for in conference play.
Like the third year in a row or something.
Yeah.
No, because they beat Texas a couple years ago.
Oh, they sure did. Yeah, that's why when you said...
forget that.
Because it was in Austin. So that's not going to happen again.
It was in Kansas.
Was it? Oh, yeah. I guess it'd have to be.
When Kansas won, yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be. Because they're in Kansas this year.
Yeah. And then Kansas' schedule... Nichols... I have no idea. Central Michigan on the road should be a loss. Rutgers, that same with the next week against Kansas or against Baylor. Two of the worst Power 5 schools out there right now playing each other. Nobody's going to watch that. Home against Oklahoma State, on the road against West Virginia, on the road against Texas Tech, TCU. Yeah, I mean, they're going to win. It might be another 1-11, depending on how good Nichols is and if they beat Baylor. So,
yeah, I'm with you. The line's 3. I'm taking the under, too.
Yeah, under on both Baylor and Kansas. That may help us even out our 45 total wins. 45 conference. Anyways, Texas Tech, though, under... I'm saying 4 games. Yeah. Michael's saying 5.
I'm saying 5. We're sorry.
Last thing I want to talk about with football was that Coach Cliff Kingsbury this week was inducted into the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame.
Excuse me. Congratulations, Coach. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. His speech was very well written. It was not really well... given.
Yeah, I don't know how long it was, but they had a 2-minute
It was 2 minutes.
That was it?
No, because that
had to have been more
with,
than that, right?
I don't know. I don't know if it was just like if they edited it out. The video was 2 minutes. He was speaking for like 90 seconds of that 2 minutes.
Yeah, we saw the same video, so I'm not sure. It felt like he had been up there already. So anyway, I agree. He looked down quite a bit.
Well, he read the entire thing.
I know.
Which is fine. I'm not like.
I know we're not trying to nitpick. It was a good speech. The words were good, but when you're used to seeing a guy that's so comfortable and maybe he was really, you know, I could see him being really nervous and being the type that's not.
Yeah, that's not like his atmosphere.
No, he's not. He's not one who's praise. Yeah, I'll come out here and accept some praise. This is going to be great. And he's probably got that whole thing in the back of his mind of Tech not doing well and, you know, a lot of people wanting him fired and all that. And he's getting honored for a football thing. And so he's kind of – he might be looking at it both ways. But I'm probably overanalyzing it like I normally do. But I did think he looked uncomfortable. And I really think a lot of it was just the fact that he was being honored and that – most people are uncomfortable in that situation anyway, but he definitely seemed to be.
And as
he deserved it, but he
and humble as he is, he deflected a lot of that. It was cool to see. So he thanked his dad twice, as his dad and as his coach, which I thought was kind of cool. He talked about his mom, which I think was a little emotional because she passed away, right?
Yes. I feel like I think while he was playing. Or right after, maybe it was right after college. It's been several years now.
Yeah.
Y'all bear with us. We've got our intern working on it.
I'm the intern.
Sorry, that was a poor time to make a joke. I didn't even think about that.
Talking about me, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything with a quick Google search. Thanks for letting me down, Wiki.
Yeah, I can't remember. I feel like it was maybe 10 years ago or a little more, 10 or 12. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But it was fast, and I mean, I think it was like a sudden thing, if I remember right. She was sick, but it was...
I think it was cancer or something.
Right, but I think it was quick. Not that it matters. Anyway, it was still awful. So... That was, yeah, I caught him talking about his mom, which was great, and his dad and his brother, and
he said he used to beat him up pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he did. I thought I heard some story on some random podcast about he had a pretty good story with he and his brother getting in some crazy fight, and I think that happened quite a bit. And then what I liked, too, was... You know, this far removed of it, you may not think to do it, but he thanked all his high school teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, of course, you know, you probably would if someone said, hey, come back, we're honoring you for something you did in high school. Your brain might be, you might go back to like, okay, if I was giving this speech in 1997 or whatever that was, who all would I want to thank right then? And he pretty much did that. And then he did, you know, throw out a thank you to the Texas Tech family, which was,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't expect a lot of Texas Tech thanks because this was a high school honoring thing. You know, these are things he accomplished well before he came to Tech, and that's what he was there for. But it was nice for him to give Tech a shout out, which of course why wouldn't he? But he didn't.
I think
have
the other
to.
Thing that was really cool was he thanked his quarterback coach that taught him.
Yes,
and he said, I try to teach my quarterbacks the same way that you taught me.
Yeah. I thought that was a good tidbit too.
Really high praise because of all the success quarterbacks coached by Kingsbury, like all of them have been, you know, Manziel, Keenum,
Baker Mayfield,
Davis Webb, Pat Mahomes. Like these are all NFL players. Like there hasn't been one, Shimonek maybe, that has not made it to the NFL.
Right.
And Shimnick may be his first in coaching like 8 years or whatever it's been that has not made it to the NFL, which is a crazy stat.
That's a pretty good record. That's not too bad.
Which when you see Texas Tech struggling to recruit a quarterback, you're like, dude, you're going to make it to the league here.
Yeah. This is a quarterback U.
QBU. All right, we're going to cut it there. We're going to move on to our mailbag section. Be sure to check that out here in a couple days or whenever it is that you're listening to it. Lots of great questions like what kind of bear is best? A little hat tip to the office there. A good one about food. Pick one or the other that ceases to exist, chocolate or cheese. I think I got a good one there.
Can't wait to dive into that one.
Favorite place in Lubbock to eat? Best and worst buildings on Tech's campus coming from our resident architect? Thanks, Brian. Would we take a graduate transfer at quarterback? And this one. This is going to be a good one. How much wood could Peter Piper pick if he were selling seashells by the seashore?
Lots of thoughts on this one.
And then we're going to end with what we learned this week, including my first water bill from trying to grow my yard. So yeah, if you want to check that out, hit us up on the Mailbag Edition. For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for listening to episode 18 of the 23 Personnel Podcast.